This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أوصيكم وإياي أولا بتقوى الله فقد فاز المتقون كما قال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال الله أيضا يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أيام معدودة وبعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن هدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة كل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Insha'Allah, we make the morning dua together. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma bika asbahna wa bika amsayna wa bika nahya wa bika namut. وإليك النشور بسم الله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا وبمحمد النبي اللهم زدني علما نافعا ورزقا طيبا وعملا متقبلا اللهم أدخلنا جنتك اللهم أدخلنا جنتك اللهم أدخلنا جنتك وأجرنا من النار وأجرنا من النار وأجرنا من النار ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين والحمد لله رب العالمين آمين يا رب العالمين All praise due to Allah رب العالمين for His blessing, His guidance, His forgiveness, His mercy and may Allah رب العالمين increase His blessing and mercy upon all of us who have been trying to attain taqwa through the month of Ramadan. We know that brothers and sisters that Allah who loves us so much, after we claim that we believe in Him, He is showing us another way to upgrade our iman to the level of taqwa. Now taqwa is a very important thing in our life. A person who have taqwa is a person who have the consciousness of Allah Rabbul Alameen wherever he goes, whatever he do, whatever he say. Even his feeling, how he feels towards one another, he is very careful, because taqwa is awareness that you know that Allah is all-seeing, all-knowing, and He is going to guide us and reward us and also punish us accordingly. Any good feeling, Allah will reward you without doing anything yet. Just having good feeling, you get Allah's reward. When you act upon it, He will increase and multiply His reward to 10 until 700 times. this is just having good feeling. You get a reward. If you act upon it, you will reward 10 to 700 times. If you have bad feeling, but you know how to control the feeling, that it did not come up from your tongue. That means you did not cause harm to others, but there is some bad feeling. Allah will not take it into account, no sin involved, until you let it out. You say it, because Allah Rabbul Alamin remind us in Surah Ali Imran that whoever dare to show their anger and hatred to you out front, they dare to say it out. Meaning, what is hidden in their heart is worse. So you must learn, you must be more careful. One, you let it out, that's where the sin is committed. And you act upon it, more sins will come to you. In Islam, Allah Rabbul Alameen loves us to have good feeling and good thoughts. We start with good feeling and good thoughts, so that we develop positive thinking within ourselves. The Prophet ﷺ did remind us, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالظَّنِّ, stay away from suspicious things. Stay away from things that, there is no hard evidence, just feeling, hearsay, so on. Because most of the time when you don't have hard evidence, you want to say anything about things that have no hard evidence, the Prophet said, "Iyakum wa dhann, fa inna dhann akzabul hadith." Whatever you say, most of the time is not correct. But human like to say something first, then they regret. So may Allah protect us from this, inshallah. So don't forget, the important thing is we are trying, all of us are trying in the month of Ramadan to increase our iman to the level of taqwa. Are very aware of what you say, what you do. It's like when you are praying, you are very alert about what you are doing, the movement. When imam is reciting, you are listening tentatively, you are focusing yourself to respond to the recitation of the imam, so that you can benefit a lot from the ayah. Now, we have been talking about the prophets in Islam, from Adam to Noah to Abraham to Moses and to the last messenger of Allah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, there is the beauty of Islam. Islam is here to represent every prophet. We are not supposed to just highlight certain prophet that we like and ignore the other prophets. Even we have nothing to do with other prophets, because their name is been mentioned, we have to talk about them and we have to believe in them. One of the important things for us to believe that prophet has been protected by Allah, they are maqsum. They do not commit sin like us. They may make some mistakes. Mistake is not a sin. Mistake is just a mistake. It's not a sin. A sin is something you purposely you want to do it when you know it's wrong. Now, the topic today we are talking about is their work to earn their living, in page 70. We should be talking about page 70. Earlier we are talking about they are human like us, and this is very important. The people have a weird idea. They thought a prophet must be unique to the extent that they don't eat like us, they don't drink like us, they don't have family. People have different ideas. But in Islam, no. Islam is telling us that Islam is a very practical religion, and Islam is dealing with waqi', reality of life. Allah created everything with a purpose. When He created a male and female, is for them to live as husband and wife. Example. So the desire towards the female and the male is correct. In Islam, there's nothing wrong to have good desire and you end up with marriage. It's not that I'm a better Muslim when I do not get married. No, Islam do not endorse that. Yeah, that's why in the time of the Prophet, you have some companions who said to among themselves, I don't want to get married. I want to get close to God. Me and God. Nothing more. Because when you got married, problem. You had to think of your wife. Then you got children, next problem. You got to think of your children. So your time, you cannot focus anymore to Allah. But when you are not married, I am with Allah now. You married yourself with God. That's where some of the Christians also have that kind of ideology. When you want to be a father, a priest, you married yourself to God. You want to be a nun, you married yourself with God. Now this is not real anymore. When Allah created a male and female, there is a reason. When Allah created all this vegetable vegetation and also animals, that means there are something that you can consume, something that you are not supposed to consume. So you can eat meat. Some people don't want. They don't want to eat meat. They go for vegetarian. Allah created everything and there is a reason for the creation. And when He said you can eat, that means you can eat. The only thing that people say this is bad, bad is because you overeat. It's not because of the meat. Yeah. It's just because you do not balance your diet. Our body that Allah has created in a very unique form, and He has His own enzyme, yeah, to digest everything that comes into your body. But you must know how to, yeah, you must know how to adjust yourself, and also you must know what is the best diet. But there are times people are allergic with certain things. And when you are allergic, you don't say it's haram to other people. It is haram on you, but not others. Why? Because you are not supposed to do anything that causes harm to yourself. If you are allergic with something that is only applying to you, you cannot say, it's like the Prophet said, you cannot, a man cannot wear pure silk. But then Anas bin Malik was allowed by the Prophet to wear silk. Why? Because he was allergic with other material. Cotton, wool, he just can't wear it. So the Prophet allowed him to wear silk. This is just an example. Now let us look into the topic. They work to earn their living. The Prophets work in common profession to earn their living. They did not just sit back and wait for the risk to come to them. Allah tells us the story of Musa and how he worked on the farm of an old man for 10 years. After the 10 years, Musa traveled back to Egypt. Along the way, he met with Allah and Allah spoke to him. You look at it in Surah Taha. Yeah? Surah Taha will inform you about what happened to Musa. Yeah? In the Quran, Allahu Akbar, most of the surah, you have the story of Moses. The story of Moses seems to be more than the story of other prophets. Yeah? Because Moses also been tested about Allah, and he have to go through a lot of trial that Allah subhanahu have put him through. Now let us start with this ayah. وَمَا تِلْكَ بِيَمِينِكَ يَا مُوسَى قَالَ هِيَ عَصَايَ أَتَوَقَّعُ عَلَيْهَا وَخُشُّ بِهَا عَلَى غَنَمِي وَلِيَ فِيهَا مَآرِبُ أُخْرَى قَالَ أَلْقِيهَا يَا مُوسَى فَأَلْقَاهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ حَيَّةٌ تَسْعَى إِلَى الْآخِرِ آيَةٍ إِنْ سُرَطَوْهَا. Now Allah said, and Allah is talking to Musa, and Musa was given the title Musa Kalamullah. Mean Allah spoke directly to Musa alayhi salam. Allah is asking Musa, what is that in your right hand? Now, if you look at this, even when you want to hold a stick, anything good, you always hold with your right hand. Anybody who like to wear watch is highly recommend to wear their watch on the right hand. Yeah, right hand. Yeah. We know majority of us wear a watch on the left hand. Yeah, I don't say haram. Yeah, but highly recommend to use the right. Anything good, right. Good, right. Because good is always right. Yeah. Inshallah. Yeah. You can start to make some changes, inshallah. Yeah. Don't worry. Of course, you're not used to it. Now, Allah is asking Musa, what is that in your right hand? If you look at this, it's like Allah do not know He's asking Musa. He knows. He's all-knowing. But when Allah wants to communicate with somebody, He would like them to confirm. He wants you to know. Sometimes a lot of things happen, but we don't even remember. If people ask you something, which hand are you? You forget sometimes. Until people say, look, are you using your watch on the left hand? Then you start to look, oh, left. Huh? Then you realize, oh, I'm wearing the watch on my left hand. Yeah? So it's just an example. It's Allah's way to remind us. He asks you. Yeah? It's like sometimes a teacher asks the student, I know that you have learned about this, but I just want to confirm, yeah, and make you alert about what you are doing. So now Moses replied, it is my staff, asai. Asai means it is my walking stick. So that's where sometimes you see some group of Muslims, they like to have a walking stick. Even they are young, they want to have a walking stick. Now, we'll talk about that later. I lean upon it. What do I use this stick for? Do I use this stick for fun, to hit people? You know, but I just use this for a lot of things. I lean upon it when I need to some support, I will lean on the stick. And I use it to tend my sheep. How do I tend my sheep? He will use the stick to show some sign so that the sheep will know that this is what he wants them to go to, this direction or that direction. And he used to use the stick to hit the trees so that the leaf of the tree will fall and the sheep will have their risky. You know, for you to use your hand and climb the tree sometime. Yeah. If you are a climber, alhamdulillah. If you are a jumper, alhamdulillah. If none, then you have to have something to hit at the leaf so that the leaf will fall, and then you can feed your sheep with that. And I use it for other things. Of course, there are other things. Sometimes it may be very important to protect yourself with a stick. Yeah. Today, the world today have changed. Yeah? While you're having a good dinner sometime, a good lunch, people may come in with something and then they say, give me everything that you have. This is a daylight robbery now. They don't care. Yeah? They don't care. And everybody is at their mercy. One day you saw them bring some parang, khalas. I don't think we dare to say anything. Khalas. When you take lah. So it's dangerous today because people do not fear, have no fear to do bad thing. When the hudud is been applied, then you can control crime better. Because if people dare to rob you, they like openly, this is real thief, real robbery. Then if they are caught, then you have the right to cut off the hand. If this hudud has been applied, I think there will be a lot of safety, security. But because hudud is not been accepted yet, maybe in the future, inshallah. Yeah? So Moses said to Allah, I use it for other things. He said, now Allah is commanding Moses, just drop it. Just drop it, O Musa. So Musa, of course, when Allah command, he will drop it. When he dropped it, immediately it turned into a running snake, and not a small one, a huge one. Then the story continued. Then Allah said, now take back, hold your stick. But Moses said, this is not a stick, now it's a python. You call me to hold a python? Of course, being a human, I have the feeling of fear that this python will attack me, will harm me. But because Allah command him to do, he just hold. Allah said, you will see that it will turn back into a stick. Allah make him feel comfortable. You hold it, it will turn back to your walking stick. And that's why he start to hold back. Because Allah informed him, it's going to go back to normal again as a walking stick. But for us, because we don't get this kind of direction from Allah. So when you see a snake, you don't hold the snake. You can say, maybe you read Surah Taha, you hold it. The snake will be a snake. This is something very interesting. It's just like when the Prophet said, when you see a snake at home, you just talk to him. If you are a jinn, if you are a good one, I don't mind. But if you are a snake, you leave the house. Because this house, we do not welcome snake. Because sometimes jinn will transform himself into a snake. And they may come in just to take a rest. But when they rest in the house, we cannot have rest. We are very restless. Even a small snake, kalas, I don't think I can sleep in peace anymore. Because the snake can just move around so easily. I remember my brother, one of my big brother. He was working in the jungle, driving all this, they were talking the lock, all these trees. So he have a hut there, he used to stay there. And then when my other brother went and visit him, he was surprised, he can't sleep because there was a python there. But to my brother, he said, I'm okay. Because the python has been with me for some time. Anyhow, this is one of the miracle of Moses, is the walking stick. But now a lot of people also want to have a walking stick. If you have a walking stick with the intention to protect you, you need special protection from time to time, it's okay, no problem. But in the same time, we hope that you make use of the stick for good use, not to cause harm to others. All other prophet tended sheep as well. They are shepherd. Abu Hurairah reported the prophet said, "Ma ba'athallahu nabiyyan illa ra'al ghanam." Never did Allah send a prophet except that he, the prophet, tended sheep. That means they are all shepherds, and that's why all prophet do have shepherd dogs. Shepherd dog is something very, very common to all the prophet who are a shepherd. They need a shepherd dog to help them. God, dog seems to be very active. He know how to control the sheep better than us. Because he can run faster than us. He can run here, he can run there, and then he know when they are trained to take care of the sheep, you don't have to worry when the dog is there. Allahu Akbar. Shepherd dogs is allowed. Watchdog is allowed. hunting dogs is allowed. Pet dogs is also allowed, but not at home. Keep it outside your house. If you have farms, estates, you have space outside that you can put a dog just to protect you from any bad guy coming in, because dog can be a very, very faithful animal. You can discipline the dogs very, very well, but don't treat the dog as a pet. Because Allah created them for other purpose, not for you to play with. More today, we like to treat the dogs as a pet. So they also have lost their own identity. Sometimes they don't know how to walk, and because you carry them so much, they got paralyzed. They don't know how to walk. You pity the dogs. And Allah is telling us again about the other prophets, and the Prophet ﷺ also remind us that Abu Hurairah said, the Prophet said, "Kana Zakaria najaran," because Zakaria was a carpenter. Different prophets have different profession, but in the same time, majority of them are shepherds. There's a reason, because when you want to lead a nation, when you want to lead a group of people, now you train yourself how to take care of the sheep. And the Prophet did mention to us, when the sheep are together, even the wolf that's going to attack them is not easy, because the sheep will be together in a jama'ah, they can fight back. But when one of the sheep turn astray, he just want to be by himself, that is when he expose himself to danger. And that's why the Prophet said, "Alaykum bil jama'ah, jama'ah rahmah, firqa azab." Always learn how to live in a jama'ah, in a group. Because when you are in a group, your weaknesses, inshallah, somebody will help you. Will help you to overcome your weakness. They will protect you. But when you are alone, nobody is there to protect you. Just last night, I was watching one video clip, people, just a lot of messages going on around today. There's one young lady and one elderly lady. They are just walking on the daylight. Where? It's in India. Suddenly they come across a group of boys. And these boys just harass them. They want to do something very bad to the girl. But we do not know the end of the video clip, because it's quite long. We're watching. They were fighting, pushing them. One boy was quite good, tried to stop the other, but only one. You have six or seven others who just want to arrest, not arrest, they just want to carry this young lady. And the elderly one fight back and talk to them, don't cause harm, don't do this to us. But this group of men just have no respect. It's very strange that this thing happened. Now, this is just a reminder. Look, when you are woman, be careful when you travel. If you're moving in an area that you are not sure there are other people around, women around, family members around, this thing can happen to you when there's a group of men. And they keep on carry her and then try to run. The other lady will come very hard and pull her down again. Only one guy never give up. The rest tend to give up a bit, let the girl go, and then there one guy will chase after them again and grab her again. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Something is very, very wrong. They forget that a woman is representing your mother. How do you feel if this thing will happen to your mother? How do you feel if this thing happened to your sister? How do you feel if this thing happened to your daughter? We know women's nature, they are weak. Physically, they are weak. But that is not for you to exploit their weaknesses. That is why Allah want you to be a rijal qawamun ala nisa. Allah said in the Quran, the men, they are like leader. A leader is to protect, not to exploit and oppress women. But look at that, what is happening is the daylight. What kind of men, if you have 6-7 men, these are not men anymore. If they dare to go and disturb a woman openly like that, they don't deserve to live. They are dangerous men. Who give you the right to do this to a woman? We look at the girl was screaming and only one young guy tried to stop. And then because the majority enjoy that kind of thing, he can't stop. Jama'ah is important. Yeah? When you are alone, firqa azab, then you expose yourself to a lot of danger. Yeah? We know what is happening even in Malaysia when you drive alone sometimes. Wrong time, wrong area, you expose yourself to danger. Even men sometimes today. May Allah protect all of us, inshallah. Amen. Abu Hurairah said that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna Daud nabiyan kana la yaqulu illa min amali yadih." Indeed, Prophet Daud did not eat except from that which he produced with his hand. That means he worked for it. We should remember that the prophets work only in good and permissible job, so as to earn good and pure rizqi. Allah wants us to work. Even in the Quran, if you look you look at Surah Jum'ah. But something is very wrong with the man. Either the verses was not been reinforced properly to make the man understand. We just recite the ayah without making the man understand what Allah said about this ayah, because only men will go for Jum'ah prayer. Women don't have to pray Jum'ah. What did Allah say? Ya ayyuhallazina amanu iza nudiya lis-salati min yawmil jum'ah fas'aw ila zikrillah wa zarul bayt. Fa iza qudiyatus salat fantashiru fil ardh wabtagu. Min fadlillah. You just, Allah said, oh you who believe, when the call for Jumat is on, azan, Jumat is on, means the first azan, stop business, stop work. Meaning, Allah want the man to work. If not, then Allah don't have to tell them to stop working. Stop doing your business, because you are doing what you have to do as a man. Work. Carry on your business, but make sure what you work is halal, your business is halal. And then Allah Rabbul Alameen said, you stop and respond to the call of prayer. Yeah. That's what Allah said. He do not say stop and then go for your lunch. Yeah, a lot of people also stop, but they go for lunch, they didn't go to the mosque. You know, I remember my uncle who was the owner of an estate. Yeah, and he employed, majority are Muslim employee, and it's part of the rule that you must give them the right to pray Jumaat. So he have to honor and give them 2 hours Jumaat, 2 hours break. And suddenly he caught them, you know, eating, drinking, chatting, smoking in a coffee shop. They didn't go to the prayer. So my uncle, when they asked me, now, if I give them the extra hour because they have to go and to pray, but they are not praying, should I just give them an hour break? I say, yes. If they don't pray, why must you give them the extra hour? It's not productive at all. You honor them, they are right, but they do not do what they must do. But of course, he dare not do that, because they always say, we are going Jumat, Jumat, Jumat. Yeah, it's Jumat. But do you go and pray Jumat? Yeah. Today you have a lot of problem. Yeah? Now Allah said, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu idza nudiya lis-salati min yawmil jumu'ah fas'au ila zikrillah, respond wa zarur bay, and stop doing business. Allah command no business, stop. But we so difficult to stop. But now we are smarter. We get a wife, you come in. But Allah says stop business. So show some respect. This is Jummah. But after prayer, fa iza qudiyatus salah fantashiru fil ardi wabtaghu min fadlillah. After you finish your prayer, then you have to disperse on the earth of Allah and go and continue with your work. But still there are a lot of men who are not working today because the wife are working. So they say, because the wife are so active, I want to take a break, I will rest. So I become a houseman. My wife is a working lady, I am a houseman. Normally a housewife, now they have houseman. And that is not right. That is very, very bad. Yeah. But this is happening, yeah, especially like in country where there are a lot of maid from that country overseas. You know which country is that? Wherever you go, you'll find maid from where? From where? Another one? Philippines. And now their husband is just relaxing. And they don't need their wife to come home. They say, you just send money. You send money every month. That is what important for them. And the wife works so hard and then send back the money. And there are times, sometimes they got married with another one, and then the wife here is suffering, working so hard and supporting the husband to get married a second wife. Is that correct? No, you will have the right to marry a second, third, fourth if you want. But how can you live? Yeah. How can you tell the second wife that, no, the first wife money is the money that I used to get married with you? What kind of man is this? I don't think if you have a daughter, you allow your daughter to marry with a man who get money from their first wife. This is no more man. We want a working man. Yes, we should remember when the Prophet worked, they only work in good and permissible jobs so as to earn good and pure rizqi. This is unlike some ignorant people who work in many haram prohibited jobs to earn their rizqi. Abdullah, and then Shaddad bin Aus niece reported that the Prophet said, Umirtu rusul alla ta'kulu illa tayyib wa la ta'malu illa saliha. The messenger was commanded not to eat except good things and not to do except good deeds. That's why all the Prophet would not engage in bad activities. They don't use bad words when they communicate with people. They don't involve in bad job. You don't see any of the Prophet according to us. But according to other people, they will say that this prophet is so bad, this prophet is a womanizer, this what prophet is like that. Na'auzu billah. We cannot say that the prophet commit that kind of acts, because prophet will not do this kind of thing. Yeah. Now this is very important for us to understand. Yeah. The prophet will never eat except what is good. Yeah. And the Prophet did give a general order to his ummah, Inna Allaha tayyib la yaqbalu illa tayyib. Allah is good, He will not accept anything that you do, even is good, but the income is not from the good income. He won't accept. Remember one ayah in the Quran, Allah said, Lan tanalu birru hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun. Whatever you contribute is not considered as something good in the sight of Allah until you are prepared to give what you love most. What you love are something that is very dear to you and something that is halalan tayyiba. What is haram for you, brothers and sisters, is also haram for another Muslim. You cannot say somebody give you a bottle of whiskey, oh, I'm a Muslim, I cannot drink. Then I pass it to another Muslim friend. You cannot do that. Because what is haram for you, you cannot pass to your Muslim. You can't do that. Example, some people do not know that you are not supposed to drink. They thought that you are not still supposed to drink when you pray, but maybe Raya once in a year you can. You can just have some fun for a while. You know, it's a festival. When you are having a festival, I think maybe that's how they think, because that's what they do. So they thought that it's okay, I give all the halal hamper, biscuit, chocolate, all the halal except one bottle of drink. If they give us sparkling, at least we can drink. But they give a good one, good quality, you know, pure wine. They thought that's a good deal, you know. But we can't drink, so what are you going to do? Then you have a friend who come to you, also a Muslim, but he have been drinking. And you pass it to me lah. You cannot pass it to him. Because what is haram for you is haram for him. All the riba money that you have is haram for you, is haram for to give to another Muslim. If you give, there's no reward at all. It's not considered as good deeds. Because Allah don't accept that, because it's not from a good income. And this is what the Prophet mean, but إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبْ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Now this command to the Prophet come in the following ayah. يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ قُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا الصَّالِحَةِ. Allah command of the Prophet, O Messenger, eat from the good food and do good deeds. So eating halal food is not only for us, and the Prophet is excluded. No, every Prophet must set a good example to their followers. So that it's easy for the Prophet to say to his follower, don't eat this because they are not eating. But it's very difficult, don't eat and they are eating. And it's very difficult for anyone to follow someone when you are doing something and you are telling them to do another thing. It's just like a father said to his son, don't get involved in drug, but the father is a smoker. You are smoking, you are also killing yourself. It is also an addiction. And you are telling your son, don't do that, but in the same time, you are doing in front of him. You make him very confused. I don't think that son is going to listen to you. He said, if you say this is not good, you should have stopped. Oh my son, please, I was a smoker before, I have stopped. So don't get involved in smoking, example. I believe all of us here do not smoke. The only smoke kind of thing that you can get is smoked salmon. That one is still halal, alhamdulillah. So even messengers is not excluded. We have some people very weird. They say they are special people. Muslim. They are among the Muslim people. Known as the Aga Khan people. They are from another group. They said, no. For them, their leader, any water they drink, any liquor they drink, when it passes through their throat, it becomes zamzam. Wow. We know zamzam is selling all, in Mecca sometimes, they're selling all the false zamzam. You know, they filter by themselves, they have their packing and then they send over. People like you and me will buy this zamzam. Liars, cheater, you know, because of money, because dunya, people don't care whether it's halal, haram. Every single cent that they earn from selling normal water and claim that it's zamzam is haram. The worker, haram. We hope that the authority, they'll take a very stern action towards these people lying and cheating for us, alhamdulillah, zamzam. Because the bottle come to us is zamzam. And written there, zamzam. And the cartoon also zamzam. So for us, Zamzam. For them, is haram. For us, is halal. This has been alert to us years ago. And that's why today, if you go to Mecca or Medina, if you want to make sure that that Zamzam is Zamzam, then you purchase it near the airport. They have now. The authority is looking into that. They have their own people who will sell in the normal price, in a good price, but everything is done by the authority. No more through third party. And that one, you can be, you can have yakin, is Zamzam. Because the authority will not lie to you. There's no reason for them to lie to you. They are local, and they have the authority to make sure that the Zamzam that they give to you is pure Zamzam. Do that. Normally you go to the airport, there is one small corner, and this is from the ministry. Alhamdulillah. From outside, you have to be careful. You know, even the meat in the Middle East sometimes. You remember there was a case that they caught them cutting, killing dogs and mixed with goat's meat. And they cook and make soup, you know. And supply to the restaurant. Tastes good, of course. I normally love this kind of soup before. After looking at the video, I don't go for soup anymore. Because these people are so smart, they ran the rooftop. You know, in the Middle East, most of the rooftop is flat. Because they don't need like the rooftop we have, because they have rain. So you can have extra activities. So they cook over there. With the will of Allah, this is Allah's will, not because we are smart. We are not smart. And then they ran and then they take a lot, they cut. That's why the dogs is getting lesser and lesser. Because it's a free meat. And now you don't have to pay to go and grab a wild dog and then you just cut in, and then the shape of the dog, the size, the leg, everything, the meat look alike like sheep. So they mix it up, then they were caught. Alhamdulillah. So many things is happening, we have to know, brothers and sisters. Whatever we do, whatever we eat. Now when you talk about work, we know that a lot of children are working in a restaurant as a waiter. Is that halal? It's only halal when the restaurant is halal. Because if not, they may call you to serve liquor. You don't drink, but you are serving liquor, and that is also haram. It's very sad. We do not protect the right of our children. We don't protect the right of the Muslim workers. Company from overseas want to invest. They can invest. They want to have a liquor factory producing wine. And if that is their right example, because you have people who are not yet Muslim in this country, they are free to drink. So you can give them the right, but in the same time, you must protect the right of the Muslim that you cannot employ Muslim worker. If you do that, we will just take back your license. Your right has been given, but you must protect the right of our workers. Even in the airline, they always have a wine sir, wine madam. Even to me, they came to me. Can you imagine? Sometimes I went a cab, they still come to me. Wine, sir. And my jama'ah, my wife, wear hijab, still ask us. So when I look at their name, beautiful name, Fatima. Khadija. Yeah, beautiful name. That made me very, very upset. Then I was stopped then. I said, "Sister, do you know that I am a Muslim? I just want to confirm." "Yes, yes, yes." "Because they are Malaysian." "Then how can you ask me, a Muslim, wine, sir? You know wine is haram. Well, you know we have to treat everybody the same." I said, "There's no wisdom. It's very wrong. You know, if I am a person who have no patience, you know what will happen to you? I will slap you, you know. I can slap you because you're provoking me. Do you think it's right for you to ask me, pork, chicken or pork? You know pork is haram. Pork is haram for me. Pork, pork, pork. What? No. I may punch you because of that. You have no respect to me. Can you go to the monk who dressed like a monk and then say, fish? He is a vegetarian. Look into your order. They have informed you, because when he want to travel, he informed you, I am a vegetarian." Then now that the chief steward came, and you think, no, I was talking to your staff here. "Oh, this is our policy." "What kind of policy is that?" "Oh, because there are some Muslims also, they ask." "That is different if they ask. That's between they and you and Allah. You know? But you cannot ask a Muslim, wine, sir. If every one of us do the same thing, we may help the sister. Because they were been instructed by maybe the policy. You treat everybody the same. But use your common sense. Allah gives you some common sense you should use. So this is called haram work. When you have to serve liquor, is haram. Even you don't drink. Yeah, may Allah protect our sisters and also the brother who are working in that kind of environment. Allah remind us that because we don't have taqwa, we are worried, if I don't do this, then I will lose my job. You don't have taqwa. If you have taqwa, Allah have informed us, وَمَا يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُمْ مَخْرَجَ وَيَرْزُقُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. If you have taqwa to Allah, Allah will show you ways to overcome your problem, and then inshallah, Allah will provide you from another provision, then from another kind of job. You must be firm to what you believe, you know. I have been working also before. I know. Yeah, I work in many, many areas. I've been in the army. I'm working in a factory before. Not only local, overseas factory. But I only look for area that is halal. Even the salary is less, the working hour is more, I don't mind. Because it's halal. I work as a cleaner before, going to all the offices, all the office to clean their glass. You know, I do a lot of things before. I involved in contract work because my father was a contractor before. You know. But remember, all the prophet, they do have their own profession. But when they were appointed to be a messenger, when they have to carry out the responsibility to convey the message of Allah to the people, most of them will stop doing the normal work. They don't have the time anymore. But why do Allah Rabbul Alameen allow them to work earlier? To give them experiences, to expose them, so that they can talk about business to their ummah. When Allah talk about business, what kind of business? The halal. You cannot lie, you cannot cheat. Yeah, even the weight, you cannot just play around. What is fresh, you say fresh. What is not fresh, you say it's not fresh. You cannot cheat while doing business. so that the Prophet are alert about the reality of the world. So after our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was chosen to be a prophet, he was also a shepherd. He do a lot of things, and he was a salesman to Khadijah. You know that she also employed him, and later on, alhamdulillah, the boss loved him. So the boss proposed to him. He cannot propose to the boss. You know, not easy for you to go and propose. Hey, boss, what do you think? It's very difficult. The boss will sack you immediately. You're crazy, you know. My worker asked for me. He don't even look into himself. Look into yourself. Look at the mirror he's in. Then it's not good. So the Prophet is a very good businessman. He's very honest. Whatever he do with Khadijah's product, Khadijah was very, very happy. Khadijah was surprised and amazed. How can he took my product? He said 100 kilo of my product and went to Sham, and in 1 month he is back and sold. Where all other businessmen, they stay 3 months and they are back, half of the thing is not sold. Where Muhammad, everything clear, and he was back in a very short period. That make Khadijah feel very strange. He said, this man must have something that all my salesmen don't have. So she sent somebody to assist him. She asked the helper, how do he do his business? How do he sell my product? And then her helper is like her helper who she sent to accompany Muhammad. At the time, Muhammad was not a prophet yet. Then this man also said, I'm very surprised with him. I never seen a businessman that is so sincere and honest like this man, Muhammad. If Khadijah said to him, this bottle of honey, example, or this bottle zaitun, you sell for 100 riyal. Every bottle I give you 20% commission. 20% is yours. Clear cut. Your transportation, I prepare. Under the boss. Under the company. Accommodation, under the company. Food, under the company. You know that transportation before is very easy. It's just horse or camel. And you can sleep anywhere. When the time you want to rest, you just come down and you start to build your tent and you sleep. It's a mobile hotel. You know, you can sleep anywhere. Just a tent, alhamdulillah, your hotel, your accommodation clear. Food provided, accommodation provided, transportation provided. Net 20% you get. So Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a very honest man and simple man. Sahlan, very easy. He brought this product. When he reached the market, he just tell them, this is 100 riyal. He do not mark up. Why? Because he got 20%. He feel that is enough. Net 20% is his per bottle. Why do I mark up the price and be too greedy? So people will buy things for you. It's the same product and it's cheaper. Alhamdulillah, this character of Muhammad opened the mind and the heart of the noble lady Khadijah. He is not just a man, he is a very gentleman, honest, sincere, trustworthy. Without any second thought, immediately she sent her delegates, a representative, to ask for his hand. See how smart the woman before? They don't want to miss that kind of opportunity. This man is very weird to get. When you have a good man like that, you don't wait too long. Don't wait for the man to come to you. The man, how can he approach the boss? But then she approached him. Mahar, of course, the Prophet will give, but she start to initiate. It's very good history, you know. But it's not easy. You know? Back to the culture, cannot. How can we do this? We are not that cheap, man. No. There's not thinking about cheap or expensive. It's a matter of whether you want a good partner or just a man. Yeah? That one you have to decide. Yeah? You want a man to come to you with a BMW, with all the gifts and so on. You just want a good man. He just can come with a Myvi, you know, the smallest car in the market. But he have a good heart. You can come with the biggest car, but small heart. But normally you say, I don't know what is in the heart. I know, you know, this is a big car. You know, in a big car, that means it's big. Now you don't know, there's a lot of big problems going to come. Anyhow, brother and sister, when the Prophet been appointed as a messenger, he have a mission to carry, they have to stop. Because they don't have time anymore. This is more important than just business. And that's why Allah did say to us, you know, hal adullukum ala tijaratin tunjikum min azabin alim. Do you want me to show you a business that is so great, so important, that that business save you from hellfire? That business can save you from hellfire. What kind of business? The business with Allah. That means you are calling people back to Allah, saving lives, saving the souls of the people. This is also a business. Tujahiduna fi sabilillah bi amwalikum wa anfusikum. You get ready to sacrifice your time, sacrifice your property, whatever you have earned earlier, just to call people back to God. And that's why, for the da'i, if you look at the asnaf of zakat, you have one portion to equip them so that they can move better. Because a du'at, a da'i, they have to go out and talk to the people. And the time when the Prophet was talking to the people, majority of them are poor. They are poor, they are the weak people, and he will approach them and invite them to Allah. But in the same time, the Prophet ﷺ will help them, give them food. Yeah? Help them financially, whatever he has. But alhamdulillah, because he got a very good wife. Who is his wife? Khadijah. And Allah grant Khadijah with wealth. Khadijah is a rich woman. She's like the billionaire at that time. Noble woman, rich woman, and also she was a very beautiful lady. Allahu Akbar. She have all the good quality. And she have been married twice. With Prophet Muhammad is the third one. Allahu Akbar. How can we say that she's a good wife? She know that Muhammad is just a salesman before. And she have no idea that Muhammad is going to be a prophet. When she got married with Prophet Muhammad, Muhammad is how old? 25, example. She was 40. No problem. Now phobia, you know. When they marry, how old is the woman? 40. You are crazy. You are 25, married a 40 years woman. There's no other woman around the world today. It's not matter of age, it's the right partner. Yeah? So don't worry about age in the future. Yeah? If you want to worry, of course you can. It's your right. Yeah? I only want everybody younger than me, also no problem. But don't make that as a condition. Yeah. Alhamdulillah, she was a very loving woman. She respect her husband very well. Never once she looked down upon Muhammad. Hey, don't forget, no, you're my worker before, you know. You're my salesman, don't be funny, me. I'm your boss. No, never once she's telling him, you don't forget who you are, no. She honor him, respect him. He know he's a good man. He never lie. He never cheat. He's very honored. Whatever he need, she always support him. Allahu Akbar. And when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam having problem, because he look at the community, the society at that time is so corrupted, so bad. They always exploit other. The weak one is being oppressed. Woman has not been honored. So he felt so sad about what is happening among his community. But he can't do much because he don't know what is the best approach. He showed good example, but majority don't follow him. And that's why when he was under certain pressure as a human, he have to get out from the community for a while. And that's why he went to Ghar Hira, to do what? To meditate, to find some peace of mind. He just cannot look at his community every day in, day out like this. He said, something is very wrong, but what can I do? I can't do anything. So he want to find some peace. He went up to Ghar Hira. And each time when he want to go to Ghar Hira, Khadijah will prepare everything that he need to get him ready to go to Ghar Hira. Never Khadija, are you crazy? You run away from the home? You go to the cave for what? What do you get from going to the cave? Maybe you go for a tour better, you know. She have the money. Why not you just travel, you know, to other country? Just relax. The Prophet decided to go to the cave to find some inner peace. And she gave him all the support. So many times he went out to the cave and back home, and she was very happy. Then one day he ran home because he experienced Angel Gabriel, and he did not know there is an angel. He was surprised when a voice came to him, Iqra ya Muhammad. What? He was always alone in peace, meditating. Now he experienced a sound. But he responded, Ana ma'ana biqari'in. I don't know how to read. I'm an illiterate person. I don't know how to read. Iqra ya ma'am, read. I don't know how to read. Then the angel came and hold him tight and call him to read. And sometimes in human, when you're under pressure, you seem to respond very well. I remember the story of people say when the Japan army was here, and the Japanese army was here. People who do know how to swim, they know how to swim when the Japanese say go and swim. People who do not never climb a tree before, they can climb. If you don't swim, I'm going to shoot you. Oh, I become a swimmer immediately. You know. Alhamdulillah, by force it worked. So Muhammad, in a way, was false, and then he reset. Iqra bismi rabbika allazi khalaq. After that incident, he never went back to the gua. Khalas, no more cave. Enough. And he ran home shivering, and like having malaria. And the wife was there, and immediately he said to his wife, Zamiluni, Zamiluni, blanket me, because his whole body is like having cold, you know. Shivering like malaria. And you see the wife, Allahu Akbar. Oh my husband, you are a good man. You respect the elders. You know, you honor the woman. You help the poor. You love the young. God will not do anything bad to you. Come down. Come down. She comforted him. Not like us. If our husband go to the cave like that and come home shivering, That's why you go to the cave? We have our house, everything is there. You want to go to the cave? Now you know. When you are not well, you know how to come home. When you are well, you go out. Now, we as a normal human, we have that feeling. We are just wait for something go wrong. Now this is the right time. I'm going to shoot my husband. But the wife, Allahu Akbar. Allah give her a very special character, and Allah have matched her with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's Allah's plan. Then when Muhammad knew that he was a prophet after that, from that day, no more working. So when you see a person who are really involved, you don't expect him to work because he have no time. You must give them all the support they need so that you will be blessed by Allah. Your income will be blessed because you are participating in doing the work of all the prophets. You can't do da'wah. You don't have the knowledge. You don't have the time, but you have the money. That's why Allah said, spend your wealth wisely. Spend your time. Spend your life in the cause of Allah Rabbul Alamin. So everybody will participate, inshallah. Yeah? And that's how Islam moved forward. Yeah? It become more constructive and more easy for the poor and the needy to become better, because when you talk to them, you help them. Yeah? Like I said to all of you last night, since first Ramadan until today, we have a lot of people walk in to ask for help, financial help. But in the same time, we have people talk to them. Yeah? My wife is looking into their affairs, but I will come with a scissors to cut all the amulets, the talisman, because they commit a lot of shirk. They wear this, they tie this on their children. So I have to come and free them from this shirk. You help them, you guide them, you explain to them, you also give them what they deserve. If you don't talk to them, you don't help them, you just come and cut the thing, I think they can fight with you. Why do you do this to us? But when you help them, then they, in a way, you can do better. Yeah? We have a lot of people, yeah, who have been calling us to, from different parts, from Cambodia. Normally this is what will happen to us. From Cambodia, from Macedonia, yeah, the contact with my daughters, and also people from Sarawak, who we in contact, they are reversed, that we have converted them many years ago, and they are very active. So whatever they need, sometimes we will back them out from here. So the more we have, the more we can help all the brothers and sisters who are involved in da'wah, inshallah. So these are the few things I want to add about the prophets. They do work, but before they've been appointed as a messenger. Moses was not appointed as a messenger yet until when he worked with who? With his father-in-law. But at that time, he did not know that that man is going to be his father-in-law. But he was helping the woman. Yeah, and this woman is the daughter of that man. And then later on, the woman said to the father, "Father, we found a good man who care for us, who help us. I think we should reward him." And that's when the woman came back and invite Moses to go to her father. And the father looked at Moses and then he said, "If you wish, not a force, to stay with me and work for me for 8 years, just 8 years, then I will offer one of my daughter to you as a wife." And that is barter trade. You work 8 years, I will marry my daughter to you. But if you want to complete 10 years, you're welcome. So he complete 10 years of working. And then at the end of the day, the father married their daughter to Musa. And that's the time when Moses was planning to go back to Egypt. And when he was on his way, Allah Rabbul Alameen, then appointed him to be the messenger. When he saw the light, and he went to the cave, to the mountain, and when he was close to the mountain, Allah commanded him, "Paknak naklaika ya Musa, take off your sandal. You are coming to a sacred wadi, valley. Wadi Muqaddas. You are entering a sacred area. Take off your sandal." Then the Prophet just took up his sandal and walked in barefooted. But before he do that, he was in the desert, and the desert with the wife and the baby, and they don't have light. And it's cold wind at night. Suddenly, ra'a'u naran, he saw a light somewhere at the top of the hill. So he said to the wife, "Stay here, I will go and look for get the fire back so that I can warm us together, inshallah." And that's where he started his journey, and the wife and the baby was put in the tent, and he moved forward. When he came to the valley, he heard the voice said, "Innaka biwadi muqaddasituwa, fakhlaq naqlayka ya Musa." And that's why he walked in, and when he walked in, because he saw the light, the fire, it's like a fire there, then the voice came to communicate with him. "Wa anakhtartuka fastami' lima yuha. Innani anallah la ilaha illa ana fa'budni wa aqimis salata li zikri. I have chosen you, O Muhammad, to be my messenger." Musa, to be my messenger. So he said, "Now remember, I am the only true God, the one God that you must worship, and establish your prayer to remember me." Why Allah want us to pray? Aqimu salat li zikri, so that you remember him, not to remember the dunya. Sometimes when you pray, there's a time dunya will come to you. Suddenly you pray, you remember where you put your bag. You know? Where you lost your key. Everything come in only when you pray. Where Allah say, "Aqimu salat li zikri," establish your prayer to remember me only. But we remember a lot of other things because we are not focused. Then he said, "I appoint you that you have izhab ila Fir'aun, innahu tagha. I want you to go back to Fir'aun and talk to him because he has been a dictatorship for too long. Time for Fir'aun to change." But then Moses, he know he was in the palace before he ran away, and there's a warrant of arrest for him already. But he was very passionate with the Bani Israel, because he also was the Bani Israel. He is not from Egypt. He was the son that King Pharaoh had ordered to kill. Every newborn baby at that time must be killed. But Allah protect him by sending him to the palace. And he was raised up in the palace. By who? By who? Asiya, the wife of Pharaoh. You see how Allah work? They plan to destroy somebody so important, but Allah send the child that is going to bring changes to Egypt to the palace. It's Allah's plan. وَمَقَرُوا وَمَقَرُوا اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَقِرِينَ. You can plan. Allah also have his plan. And Allah is the best planner. So you submit to Allah, you are okay. Yeah. And that's why Moses is not like you and me. in a way, I'm saying that he don't speak like us. He is very, sometimes when he speak, he is not very fluent and not smooth. Mumble here and there. And that's where Allah teach him to make a prayer. Qala Rabbi srahli sadri wa yassirli amri wa hlul uqdatan min lisani. So he make this prayer. And also he's not ready to go back to Pharaoh alone. He asked Allah for help. Oh Allah, can you send a brother Harun to me so that he will move with me? Alhamdulillah. And Allah give him the walking stick as the miracle. Because Allah know King Pharaoh have a lot of magician with him. And their magic also deal with snake. They also play with snake, so Allah send a python to them. A snake with snake. Yeah. Some people will have different miracle. This one is snake to snake. So when he went to King Pharaoh, Allahu Akbar. King Pharaoh was waiting because he want him dead or alive already. It's like his brother. And he said, welcome home, welcome home. Just join me. You know, why must you go against me? No, I'm here to invite you to God. And I'm here to ask you a favor. Please, release all the Bani Israel in Egypt. Because I have to bring them home. I'm here to bring the Bani Israel back to Palestine. Back to Jerusalem. You see, you come home with that intention. You still want to go against me. What do you have? You are nobody. Look at me. I'm the king now. And that's how the dialogue goes on. Then he called all the magicians. And they start to demonstrate. Yeah? Their miracle, they also call themselves. That is not miracle. That's illusion. What is miracle is what Allah gives to the Prophet. And Allah, Allahu Akbar, all these so-called magician of King Pharaoh, when they look at the miracle of Moses, they drop down their head and they make sujood. Allahu Akbar. Immediately this magician knew what Moses have is not what they have. This come from God. They make sujood. King Pharaoh was shocked. He said, you dare to do something like this without my command? You go down and worship and respect to Moses and believe in Moses God without my izin, without my permission. I will cut off your leg. I will cut off your arm. I will punish all of you. But this group of people said, whatever you want to do, you do. No, we want to believe in Moses. See, when the truth comes, people are ready to die for the truth. When the iman enters your heart, you are ready to die. When the iman is not in the heart, because the dunya is in the heart, I don't want to die. Yeah, I have so many things to do, you know. So many plans. You know? Raya, I have planned already where to go, you know. You know everything. So you are not going to die yet. Yeah? Because the iman is not strong. You know? Anyhow, brothers and sisters, please remember, if the Prophet, once he been appointed the Prophet, he may not have the time to work anymore. So he have to focus on da'wah. But alhamdulillah, Allah paid Prophet Muhammad with Khadijah. Khadijah is a very rich woman. Whatever money she have, she just give it to the Prophet and said, use all my money for the sake of Allah, because it came from Allah. I'm giving it back to Allah. Allahu Akbar. Yeah? That's how Islam moves very fast. When they have all the support, then you can move faster. Yeah? So may Allah make all of us involved in da'wah. Even if we cannot do da'wah directly, we participate in a different manner. Insha'Allah. Yeah? Remember, brothers and sisters, the 17th of this month is our big day in Ramadan, where we will invite those needy and poor and the rivers, who is under our lease to come and get their rights. And in the same time, we have interview with them. We will remind them so that they become a better Muslim from year to year, inshallah. Whoever want to participate in all these good activities, you can approach us as soon as possible so that we can do it better, inshallah. So the topic about they knew not or they did not know the ghaib. A lot of people said a prophet should know everything about the unseen, not everything. There are certain things that Allah will teach them. There are certain things Allah keep it to Allah alone. So, not a prophet is not a man who come and tell you about everything of the unseen. Remember when one day Allah Rabbul Alamin Qadar, a group of the people of the book who have a lot of information about the ghaib, they test Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask him, tell us about the ruh, about the spirit. Now, when your people ask you about the spirit, if Prophet Muhammad wants to create some story, he can. Whether it's correct or not, he just create. And it's up to you, how you present it. But when they ask him about the spirit, about the ruh, immediately Allah revealed this ayah in Surah Isra, يَسْأَلُونَكَ أَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي وَمَا أُوتِيتُ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Allah. When they ask you, O Muhammad, about the ruh, about the spirit, say to them, this is the work of your Lord. This is the job of Allah. I have no knowledge except the little that Allah informed me. That's all. But when the Prophet answered this, Allahu Akbar, the people of the book got tongue-tied. They don't know what to say. They know what Prophet Muhammad just said to them is true. They are waiting for him to create a story, then they'll come hard on him. But when the Prophet said, this is the job of Allah, the work of Allah, only He knows. The little that I know, what I can tell you, I can tell you. Then the ruh will leave the body. There's, you are living because the ruh is there. That's all. Allahu Akbar walillah. Later on, we continue more detail about the ghaib, because the ghaib is a very important element. Without the ghaib, you cannot be a believer. Allah is unseen to us, is ghaibiyya. Al-akhirah is unseen. Hellfire is unseen. Jannah, paradise is unseen. Many things that we believe without seeing them. That is the power of a believer, believing in the unseen. Allazina yu'minuna bil ghaib. You believe in the unseen. Is a very powerful thing that makes us very different with others. We believe in the jinn. Do we believe in jinn? Yes. Other people call ghosts. Do you believe in ghosts? The Malay call hantu sometimes. Yes, we believe. Have you seen anyone? Any jinn before? Alhamdulillah. It's good you never experienced the jinn. I don't really look and the whole image, but I've seen some before from a young age. May Allah protect us from all the bad jinns, inshallah. And may Allah give us the right understanding about can a da'i work? Yes. But if they're really involved, they have so many things to do, so many things to plan, so many things to attend to. So we got to give them all the support they need, so that they can move forward to spread the word of Allah Rabbul Alameen. If there are any questions, now we open for Q&A. Fatafaddal. Firstly, I will answer the question, the written question in front of me. It's a very good one. A question from a not yet Muslim. Why is there a death penalty for a person who chooses to leave Islam? Irtad. Doing so is like forcing a person to stay with Islam. No, why can't a person be able to think and decide for themselves what they want to believe in? You understand the question? Number one, as a Muslim, we do not make our rule. We do not say this is halal, haram, you can do this, you can do that, based on how we feel. We believe in what Allah said and what our Prophet said. Rule number one, we cannot force anybody to Islam. La iqra fi din. We cannot force. And once somebody wants to be a Muslim, we cannot stop them from coming to Islam. We must make it easy, help them. But in the same time, we must be very honest to tell them, when you enter Islam, it's a one-way traffic. Check in, no check out. We must let them know. This is what we do here, so that they don't blame us. You think by yourself. If you are not ready, don't. We don't force you. We don't want you to play with religion. Neither we want you to be caught in a situation later on. You yourself is having a lot of problem. You think wisely. Ready, you come. When you're in, you are in. Khalas. This is what we emphasize. Because the law of whatever punishment is not fixed by us. This is Allah's religion. But we know there are people who have left Islam. We know there are people who have left Islam. And Allah said about these people in the Quran. The only thing that we are telling them, anything that you want to do very personally, something individual, because of you, belief is between you and God, we don't know. Even you can have Muslim name, but what you believe, you don't know. You may not pray, you may not fast. Who is there to monitor you? We don't know. Nobody is there to monitor you. Your mother can call you, pray. Yes, I pray. And then you don't pray. Who knows? But Islam do not allow you openly to come and say, I want out. No. If you don't feel good, you yourself want to just get out, is between you and God. Finish. The problem is when you want to apply officially. We can't give you that kind of permission because it's against the belief. It's up to you. You don't want to stay on, it's up to you. Anybody force us to pray? No. Anybody force you to fast? No. But if you want to pray, you're welcome. You don't want to pray, it's between you and God. We will keep on praying and may Allah guide you, strengthen your iman, save you, that's all. But we don't allow people to come and challenge the law. Even the country, in anywhere you go, there is a law and order. You have to follow. You don't want to follow that particular law in that particular country, then you just take a flight, get out from the country. So then there's no problem. The law of the country will not chase you when you are outside. You are in another country, they have their own law. Example, the law of gay getting married. We do not know. Malaysia, do they have this law? No, not yet. We hope it's not going to change. Because we believe that you want to get married, you must be normal. Even people are crazy, we cannot get them married. Some mad guy say, I want to marry. And then go to the Qadi look at him. Who want to marry? I want to marry you. Then you better go home. That means you are crazy. You want to marry, you don't know who you want to marry. You come to the Qadi and say, I want to marry the Qadi. Qadi, I don't think this Qadi want to conduct a nikah for this guy. He's crazy. When crazy people, you don't go and make nikah to them. You become a crazy Qadi. We don't entertain things that is not right. So if a person says they want to carry on to do what they want to do, then they have to migrate to a country that allowed them to do that. So it's very simple. Islam do not endorse that. But it happened in the time of the Prophet, people who have left. But it's not something that they make it so official. Anything official, we follow the rule. We follow the book. Thing that is not official is between you and God. So don't make it difficult for yourself or difficult to others. You want to believe, you're welcome. You don't want to believe, you have a choice. And Allah did say in the Quran, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَيَكْفُرْ. Whoever wish to believe, believe. Whoever use, decide not to, that's between you and Allah. But don't come to the authority. You don't need to do that. It's just like, you come to the authority, say, this is 1 kilo of morphine. What can you do to me? I want to bring it in. Good. But if you do it secretly, you know how to bring in that drug. You got passed, that is you and God already. But if you come and challenge the authority, they have give you a warning in the flight. In Malaysia we have drug trafficking ruling, very severe punishment, and also human trafficking, and you do it in front of them. 1 kilo. Salamat now. You really ask for trouble, okay? Salamat. Confirm. You come in, and you go in straight. You don't just come into Malaysia, immediately they send you to another inner part of Malaysia. A more secure place for you to live in. So they have peace for yourself. You don't go and destroy the nation by bringing all this drug. Just an example, you have law. So you don't challenge the law. That is what I'm going to say about this. We are not forcing, neither we want them to do things that is not right for them to do. Now, any other question? Now we open to the floor. We always start with the sister. Any question from the sisters? We hope that Ramadan has been very kind to all of us. Alhamdulillah. Our weather is not bad compared with other countries. We still enjoy wet days. Sometimes it's a bit hot, but alhamdulillah. How hot Malaysia is, still very humid. We do sweat. Alhamdulillah. Any question from your sisters? None yet. Brothers? Any question from brothers? No question from the brothers too. Alhamdulillah. Ramadan Mubarak. Ramadan always, everything is changed. So may Allah make it easy for all of us brothers and sisters. And please, try your level best not to miss your prayer, especially before iftar. Don't give up your prayer. Keep on asking Allah whatever you want. Only don't forget to ask, may Allah give me more energy, more help. Also, may Allah open the heart of my family members who are not yet a Muslim. Don't forget to pray for me too, my family. And we will pray for all of you, inshallah. So may Allah forgive all our sins. May Allah accept all our deeds, our qiyam, our siyam, our sadaqah. And may Allah Rabbul Alamin increase our health to make us stronger, healthier, so that we can carry out our responsibility towards Allah in the best form and the best manner with the right spirit, inshallah. So we wish you a good Ramadan, and we hope inshallah just continue to do what you have been doing that is good. Recite the Quran, try to reflect the meaning, increase your knowledge of Islam, and may Allah Rabbul Alamin make us have a good ending. Amin. Ya Rabbul Alamin, Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.